We're having with our good friend Ted Rossman from Bankrate. Hello, Ted. How are you doing here on this Monday afternoon?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I want to talk about credit cards and the much we're paying for them and how that's going up. But I just want to ask you one question about, I'd say, the financial story of the day. Of course, what is happening with the Fed? Chair Jerome Powell confirming yesterday in a video he's the subject of a Department of Justice criminal probe tied to his testimony before the Senate Banking Committee. Ted, can you explain why some people, some investors, some people following the markets might be worried about that? If they don't understand, frankly, like, what does that do to an economy, or what does that do to rattle the confidence in the markets?
We've seen some unprecedented amounts of political influence on the Fed over the past year or so, trying to remove certain Fed officials for cause or for various supposed scandals involving, like, mortgage disclosures, and kind of digging up dirt to undermine some of these officials, trying to influence rate policy. Studies have shown that countries with more independent central banks generally fare better economically. Political pressure on the Fed can make investors nervous because it could potentially highlight that maybe the Fed's not all that serious about fighting inflation, or, you know, if they lower interest rates at all costs because that's what the president wants, does that actually have unintended consequences for the economy? Traditionally, the Fed has really tried to stay out of the political fray and really try to be stewards of the economy, promoting stable prices, maximum employment. Its independence has been challenged in some pretty unprecedented ways over the past year.
I expected the markets to open down, and they did today for this very reason. But then they rallied. We are really at a time where nothing seems to be able to shake the market from reaching new highs. There's days when it's down, no doubt. But I thought of all days, and this is why there's no crystal ball about this, Ted. I'm not asking you to explain the market, but I guess I was surprised that this didn't rattle it more.
Yeah, the market has been rolling along. I mean, some of that is that a lot of the data is coming in better than sentiment. If we only look at how consumers are feeling, we would say, well, gosh, it feels like we've been in a recession for a few years now. People are worried about inflation and tariffs and high interest rates and just a high cost of living. And yet, a lot of the economic fundamentals have been pretty good. Of course, the AI boom is powering stocks forward. But also the fact that Q3 GDP came in at the best level in a few years. And even though the unemployment rate's gone up a bit, it's still pretty low in the historical context. People have been spending. It is very much a K-shaped economy. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. We definitely see that with spending. We see it with who's enjoying the record high stock prices versus who's on the outside looking in. Same thing with home ownership. I mean, it's a good time if you own a home that's at a record value and you locked in a 3% rate a few years ago. It's much more difficult if you're renting and trying to break in. So there are a lot of inconsistencies in the economy. But many people are doing well despite the struggles of others, and the economy is really chugging along in pretty good shape, I would say.
Is a flashing yellow light what you came here to talk about today, these credit card debts that Americans are amassing?
Well, that's an interesting topic, too, because it's true that Americans have a record amount of credit card debt, and in some ways that sounds alarming. We don't want to have credit card debt at the individual level, of course. The average interest rate's about 20%, and three out of every five people with credit card debt have had it for at least a year. Half of cardholders are carrying debt from month to month. Some of those stats are alarming. Some of it, though, is a proxy for economic growth, at least when you look at overall balances, because a lot of these stats don't even distinguish between who pays in full and who doesn't. I would say it's an all news is local kind of issue, just in the sense that if you're in the half that's using cards for rewards and convenience, you're doing great as long as you're avoiding interest. If you're in the half that does pay interest, that can get really expensive in a hurry.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't be surprised for the people that do take on debt and make it longer-term debt. It's unexpected emergencies. There are day-to-day expenses that also add up, too. But these emergencies really set people off their course of where they plan to go.
It's the biggest cause of credit card debt. There's this stigma that it must be a vacation or a shopping spree. No, it's usually an unexpected medical bill or car repair or home repair. Sometimes it's groceries and other day-to-day expenses outpacing your paycheck. The president on Friday outlined a plan to cap credit card rates at 10%, which on the face of it sounds great. People would love to pay lower rates. The average now is 20. A lot of people are paying even more than that. The problem, though, is access to credit. If banks are capped at a 10% maximum APR, a lot of them are going to pull back on lending, and that's actually going to hurt the people that this is supposed to be helping. The Electronic Payments Coalition says 90% of credit card holders could lose access to credit if a 10% cap were enacted. I don't think this proposal is going to come to fruition, but that highlights an interesting aspect of the unintended consequences, that it just wouldn't be profitable for banks. So it's one of these things that sounds better than it really is.
I know some people might listen to them and say, how could they still not be profitable? 10% is a lot of money. But that's assuming that you're getting paid 10% on all of it. There's going to be delinquencies of people that never pay. That's the problem here, right, for these companies and why they could never offer that rate. They have to do 20 to 25% to cover for the people that never will pay.
That's the bank's position, yes. Right now, the credit card delinquency rate is about 3%. The charge-off rate is 4%, so that's the people that are so late that the card company's basically given up on receiving that money. So if you add that together, that's about 7% are either in default or potentially on their way. Yeah, the fact that this is unsecured debt, there's not an underlying asset on the line like a car or home, that's the bank's position for why they have to charge higher rates. Now, I'm sure we could quibble about, do they have to be quite this high? But these sides are pretty far apart right now. The president's idea is no more than 10% for a year. He's phrased it as a one-year temporary thing. There is no cap right now, and people with lesser credit scores are paying all the way up to about 36%. The average is about 20. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. There is some notable bipartisan agreement. You have President Trump agreeing with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. I mean, how often does that happen?
Right.
Just the fact that we're having this conversation does show that credit card debt's a big issue. My feeling is that the best way to address it is not through a federal cap, but rather try to pay it off if you can every month. I know that's easier said than done. If you can't, get a 0% balance transfer card, work with a reputable nonprofit credit counselor, maybe take on a side hustle, cut your expenses. There are some things you can do. I just think the 10% cap would really upend the credit card market in terms of access to credit, rewards. I think it would backfire, even more than when debit card interchange was capped in 2010 and other fees went up and rewards went away. I think this would be even worse.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I love when we have interesting political bedfellows, which this idea from the president, which Bernie Sanders and AOC have had in the past. Maybe they can all hash out something that's a little bit more in the middle. We'll have to wait and see on that, and you'll keep us posted, Ted Rossman, when it happens. Take care. Thank you for your time today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
From Bankrate, chiming in on all sorts of things.